And we have some special guests from QP Local 3906 here at McMaster. They're directly in the studio today because of the special occasion with all that's happening in Canada and even in Hamilton today. So I'd like to welcome the three of you today. Thanks so much. This is great. I think our listeners are really going to appreciate this. I'll let you introduce yourselves. You can tell us who you are and anything else of relevance.
Well, thank you very much, Brendan. We appreciate the opportunity to be here today and to have this discussion. My name is Anthony Gracie, and I am president of QP Local 3906 here at McMaster, representing 3,000 TAs, RAs, sessionals, and postdocs on campus here.
Great. That's great.
Hi, I'm Jessica Foran. I'm the Political Action Committee Chair at QP 3906, and we do a number of solidarity actions with various groups on campus, but also in the Hamilton community. So about building solidarity beyond the labor movement.
And I still get letters from that. It's good to see this local is so active. And Alex, you're here as well.
Thanks for having us. So yes, my name is Alex DeChanu. I'm the also a member of QP 3906 and the chief steward for sessional faculty. Although today I'm just speaking in a personal capacity here. But yeah, it's great to be here.
Absolutely. You know, we've heard such great things from QP, from Sid Ryan, from the OFL, just in the last few days alone. And there's things that can be said on behalf of QP. And there's also personal experiences we want to speak from, just on our own terms. I know some of us have already been involved in various exciting things on this issue and personally as well. Alex, I had heard that you are coming back from Quebec. You were present during this manifestation, this very important time in Canadian history. When did you arrive approximately in Quebec?
So I was actually there twice. I was there in February just as the strike was getting off the ground, just there for personal reasons, family reasons. But that was just when the strike was happening. And at that point, I was mostly interacting with people, just becoming aware of myself that the strike was happening. And one decision I made then was I knew of the strike in 2005, the previous strike. And I knew that that strike really didn't make a lot of waves outside of Quebec. And it was a real shame because that was also a real powerful strike. It also involved hundreds of thousands of students and a clear, well, more or less a clear victory for the students, but without any impact. So at that point, I decided to start a Facebook page. It's called News from the 2012 Quebec Student Strike.
News from the 2012 Quebec Student Strike. Okay.
As a way of circulating English language news out of the province, including our own translations. So that was my first engagement with it. I knew people who were on strike in 2005, who were on strike now. My partner was actually on strike in 2005.
I mean, this is a key issue because Quebec's been in its own solitude. There's that discussion of the two solitudes, and there had been very exciting actions that people didn't know about. We had to take special action to get that on the air here in March. So you've been trying to get some of this discussion into English Canada or the rest of Canada. That's amazing. And there has been inspiration to students or among students from those Quebec actions. I know I had seen red patches at McMaster during certain times of high labor intensity and, of course, at York during the large strike in 2008-2009. So people have been working with the students, getting it out there, but it's taking effort by those like what you've been doing yourself to make it clear what's happening. So I guess you've been working on that and you got to see all the good stuff that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, the Facebook page has been an interesting experiment because at first I was just hoping to get a core group of people who are already active to pay attention and learn a little bit about it. And one thing that came out clearly at first is that the solitude was actually like in Quebec itself as well, right? Most of the people following the site at the beginning were actually Anglophones from Montreal. And this is the first time that we actually see a lot of Anglophone students in Quebec participating in the strike. But since then, it's just gone, it's blown up beyond anything we were expecting with the website. And there's people watching from a lot of people from Ontario, New York, California, London, England, a lot of places, Chile,
yes,
Spain. So yeah, it's up to something like 140,000 unique visitors a week, or unique people seeing unique content. Unique people seeing content in a week. So
it's good that they are.
Incredible.
I mean, I've seen articles from Chile about the Quebec student strike. Mm-hmm. So people are reading that and then they're writing about it, making comparisons. There was that solidarity demonstration in Paris I had mentioned before, and I had heard the Spanish people that are protesting as well have been making references to this strike. So your blog and information like that makes this a global thing. This is why information can move so quickly and events can happen so rapidly today.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've got a red patch on, Tony. I was just telling our listeners, we got to make our own red patches over here. I got some felt at home. We're working on that. I don't have mine yet, mm-hmm. even though there's an action happening today. Did you just make that yourself?
No, I was given this patch at a conference that I was at this weekend, a conference representing academic presidents across Canada. And this particular conference was organized by the Canadian Association of University Teachers. And COUT has donated $20,000 to the student strike themselves. And people, the leadership at COUT, felt that you know, it was important to support this particular strike, and so they handed out these squares at the conference to all the participants there. So.
The participation of COUT is significant because we know in Quebec that even from the earliest times, the protests involved teachers, professors, mm-hmm. people at the high school and university and college level, mm-hmm. Teaching assistants, various people within the education system, in addition to the parents and the families. So
right.
This is widely seen as an education issue, not just a tuition issue or a fee issue,
That's
but
right.
it's accessibility for everyone, for the current generation and for future generations in Quebec and now in the rest of Canada. So there's that kind of participation. What's happening in Ontario, we'll be able to talk about that. In terms of the red patches, I know because of what's happening today at 8 o'clock, I hope whoever's organizing that is able to bring some extra patches and also maybe some pots and pans, right? Because
yeah.
I can't bring one right from McMaster, so
yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do about that particular situation. But you must be quite aware then of the efforts in Ontario to bring this further. I know there's various new organizations that students have created and others have created already.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll be seeing that out today on Wednesday and probably on June 5th as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hamilton has been very proud of how Hamilton activists in the community has responded to the strike and have organized on their own accord to support the strike in numerous ways, from the demo tonight in Gore Park at 8 p.m. to you know, the demo in Toronto on June 5th at 8 p.m., you know, Ontario students have a lot to be proud of in terms of how they have so far organized in support of students in Quebec, I think.
Yes. I just keep thinking about what it is that's inspiring people. There have been many photos of the students marching in very creative ways.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own dynamic, their own style that mm-hmm. they've lent to this, which is somewhat different than Occupy or the other movements.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good because Quebec is its own distinct culture, or it's a very distinct place. So it's going to originate things which are going to inspire similar but not quite the same efforts elsewhere.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, you must have seen some pretty interesting things. The videos have been inspiring, the one about the pots and the pans and a whole bunch of other ones. I guess you were there for some of these kind of things.
Yeah, so the second time I was there was just what would have been a little bit over a week ago, is just as the special law basically criminalizing spontaneous protests mm-hmm. was being discussed and passed. So the first demonstration I actually attended was that very same evening when the law had passed. And
wow.
So nobody knew. It was a really tense moment where the movement could have ended there. Nobody knew what was going to happen. Were the police going to enforce the law? And you could potentially be facing up to a $5,000 fine just for marching in the streets. So nobody knew what was going to happen. And then as I get there, and we get there, and it's, you know, it's a crowd of 15,000 people in the streets.
15,000?
15,000, yeah, at least. And openly defying the law. You know, chants like, the special law, we don't care, you know, but in French, mm-hmm. la loi spéciale, on s'en calisse. So it was just really, you know, it just told everybody that was there that this law is going to be openly defied and the movement is going to continue despite it. And because of that, almost became an inability to enforce the law, because mm-hmm. what do you do when 15,000
right.
people, and then later up to half a million, but according to some reports on Tuesday, I was there for that march as well. So this was Friday, was the first march, and then these continued. There's been over 35, I think, nightly marches now in Montreal.
Yeah, there must have been more protest chants originated in the last 2 months than the last 10 years in Canada. Well, wow. I mean, Jessica, you've been helping organize a variety of initiatives with the Political Action Committee on a whole wide range of issues that are of concern to students and people in the community. So, I mean, what's your feeling? What do you pick up in terms of the talk and the chatter about the Quebec student strikes? Because now that it's spreading to Ontario, there's particular grievances we might have as Ontario students. So how are people feeling about the tuition issue here?
Well, I mean, it's kind of difficult to say. Other students that I speak to or my colleagues, it's becoming really apparent that people are really inspired by what's been happening in Quebec. Absolutely, it really seems like it struck a chord with the particular situations that we're facing here within the context of the neoliberal university. And although I have to admit, I mean, I haven't spoken to every student. It will be interesting to see, because it's the summer right now, it will be really interesting to see come September what the sentiment is. I mean, my sense of it is that there will actually be increased mobilizations on campuses across Ontario and the rest of Canada. I think there's been sort of a rejuvenated spirit that things can be accomplished by organizing together democratically and, you know, setting goals. And I think that for ourselves at the Political Action Committee, I mean, we've participated in trying to pass the motion to make the $10,000 donation from the local to the students in Quebec, to class, actually. And since then, we've done some leafleting on campus. Many of our members have been participating in the meetings that have sprung up in Hamilton, and of course, the demo tonight. And I think that now our challenge is to think, how do we think about how things have sprung up in Quebec and how that can look here in our particular context? Because we don't have the same history here. We'll have to work hard to try to develop those relationships with each other. And I think it will take a lot of sort of strategy in how we decide that works best for us.
Yes.
But I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be great.
Strategy is very important. And you've been watching more keenly than most. I believe you were at McMaster one of the first locals to plan giving a donation to the actions in Quebec. I know that the U of T has also. Tony, you talked about the CAUT is planning a donation. So McMaster was ahead of the curve on this because you have a highly active political action committee, a highly active local, and you can be proud of that. I can congratulate you on that. In terms of strategy, I mean, one of the key issues here is now people know that they can change things. They know that they can get on the streets and make a difference and affect government policy. I know the Globe and Mail commenters are going insane about that. If you read the comments section, I'm reminded of comments made by a Twitter feed I'm following. Maximilian Fort, who is an academic in Quebec, we've interviewed him on the program before. He's been posting a number of amusing comments. And one of the things he says is, you know, Ontario students, people in Ontario, don't complain about Quebec's lower tuition fees. Find a way to lower them in your slave colony of a province. It's time that we stop this kind of endemic Canadian attitude where if someone has it better than you, you want to bring them down. It's time to bring ourselves up. And Ontario students are realizing that the costs for Ontario, I believe, are higher than the other provinces. It was something like 23% higher, paying $5,600 or more a year. And that's before the living costs, the book costs, ancillary costs that are sustained. So I imagine Ontario students have a specific issue and problem to address then.
Well, I think the general issue is access to education. And it's not just about access to university education. It's all levels of education and the role of the government in providing, you know, that access to people who want to learn in whatever capacity they want, right? And it doesn't matter what the tuition levels are. You can, you know, you don't have to compare tuition levels, high, low, whatever. The issue is accessibility to education, and an increase in tuition, no matter what starting point, is going to make the education less accessible. And so, you know, that is an issue not just in Quebec, but like you said, across the country. And Ontario students can be inspired and can organize in response to their own problems here in the province with tuition, and go from there.
Yeah, in terms of organizing, I know people have been also influenced by the way that the Quebec students have organized themselves. It seems to be a more democratic than usual organization for what we're used to in Canada. I was following Bill Maher, and he had said, if you're one of those people that say, oh, I don't get involved in politics, it's just a nasty business, then you got to think, you live in a republic or a democracy. If you are not participating in politics and civics, that's a dereliction of duty. You are a bad citizen if you're not involved. But we have a lot of good citizens right here in Hamilton who are going to be out today in Toronto and Ontario and the rest of the country. When students organize themselves, they have a lot of options now, and they can look to what Quebec has been doing. I understand that they meet after these big demos to discuss how they went and if they want to do it again. And how, I mean, you were probably a little bit more involved in these day-to-day affairs. How do they do it?
Well, even within Quebec, there are two models, but the heart of the strike is La Classe, or really ASSE, the main student federation, and they differ from the other two or three federations. right? It's just, there's differences there too, but their model, and that's been the key of the strike, key to getting people mobilized, is they engage in direct democracy. So they're run by general assemblies. There'll be department level or college wide general assemblies, and the general assemblies, one member, one vote, decide what will happen next. And they don't have an executive, they don't have representatives, they have delegate councils. So the general assemblies remain at all times the highest decision making body, and they coordinate through a delegate council. And the powerful element of that is that it forces, or it allows everyone to participate and take ownership of the struggle, and they really feel like they decide what happens. And that is a way to increase participation. Whereas what we've seen, the main model here in Ontario, whether we look at graduate student unions or TA unions or unions in general, student unions is more of a representative model where we elect representatives and they pretty much do what they like. And so it makes us passive. It makes the rest of us passive. We don't have to engage. Somebody's making decisions for us. That, I think, is the key to why the Quebec movement is so strong. Mm. There is, of course, this history that of, you know, this is the ninth general strike, student strike in Quebec since, I think, 58. Yes, we don't have that kind of history in Ontario, but I don't think that's really the difference between in terms of levels of strength of the different movements here and in Quebec. I think the key is that for now, going back to at least the 96 strike, you have the General Assembly is how the movement organizes itself, direct democracy. And that's been the key to sustaining this engagement generation after generation in Quebec.
Yeah, it looks like we've got a couple of things there. First, the student actions seem to be in coordination with social movement activities province-wide. And with the assemblies, think about how inspiring it must be that you have a big successful demonstration of 25,000 or 500,000 people or however many. You come back, you decide, okay, how did that work out? What you want to do next? It's a giant union meeting of sorts. Everyone gets to be involved. So it means it's taking initiative. You're moving forward. You're not just reacting. They're deciding what happened. How do we evaluate that? Let's move forward. And whatever we do in Ontario, I guess the issue here, we need more participation. We need people to get involved more. That's right. Figure out how they're going to do that. I think there's going to be some responsiveness or receptiveness to that idea. We'll see how that works out. In terms of the big organizations or the official organizations, there's been inspiring things from CUPE. There's been inspiring things from Sid Ryan, who's been, I'm on his Facebook page, and he posts about various articles and what's been happening, and he gets a lot of likes. He refers to perhaps some of the artists or others who have gotten involved in this. As we know, Arcade Fire's come on this. We played a track from Jean Lajoie, his song for the students. And now on Facebook, you can see other different bands in Quebec that are supporting this. And maybe they should have a concert, right? They should have Arcade Fire and Jean Lajoie and the other bands. I mean, it would be free, and then you know, everyone could come. I mean, who could be opposed to that? I mean, that's a good idea. This is getting passed around all over the place, and actually, people are getting exposure to some bands and ideas that they were not before. The OFL, I think they've come out with some very good statements as to how we can help or how Ontario can or should get involved. Mm-hmm. So I guess there is a leadership that's recognizing what's going on and trying to see how they can help in a productive fashion. Mm-hmm. You know, in coming up, looking at what we should discuss today, I spent a lot of time going through the mainstream newspapers. From Globe and Mail to National Post, we have Hamilton Spectator here, of course, CBC. There's always a lot of comment sections and things like that. One of the ways that they're trying to dismiss the strike, some people are still using the angle, they're children, they're entitled children, and so on, but less people than before. In fact, some of that type of commenting has really shriveled up since the spotlight was put on this kind of insanity, because we know what the issue is now, and it's about austerity. Now, they're still trying to pitch it in that it's unaffordable to do, even in Quebec, what they're doing, never mind the rest of Canada. So the idea is there's just no budgets anymore to do these things that we used to have. And we're just going to have to give up and spend more money year after year after year. I mean, is that the only plan available?
Well, I think that, you know, that type of argument kind of avoids the bigger discussion about budget priorities in general and how much governments want to devote to education as opposed to corporate tax cuts or some other means of, you know, using society's wealth. And so for me, it's not a matter of not having enough money. It's a matter of, you know, the priority that governments place on funding education. And in Quebec, I think that it's clear that there have been, you know, issues with not funding it enough, and they're trying to funded on the backs of students and who can't afford it. So I would say to people raising that criticism that this is about budget priorities. The money is there. The money exists. We're one of the wealthiest countries in the world. Quebec itself is one of the wealthiest countries in the world. And so it's the money's there. It's just a question of priority.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, there's so-called developing countries that have free education. So maybe we have to start redefining what is development if
That's right.
a country like Canada... which we're always told how lucky we are that we're born in Canada and it's such a great country. And it is a great country, and it's because there have been social movements and unions who paved the way to make affordable education and many other protections that we used to enjoy until not too long ago. So, I mean, that's a huge issue. I got to be honest, make a confession. In high school, the instructors were trying to help us, and they would tell us, In the future, this was back in 2000, they said, in the future, only the top 10% or so are going to have jobs, are going to have careers. So you got to make sure you're in that top 10%. So we're part of that double cohort. We worked really hard to get out to university in time. And not a lot of people were stopping to think, well, what about the 90% who can't shine beyond everyone else? Do they get jobs? Do they? And what if you slip out of the 10%? If you can't work like a maniac for your entire life, is... Mm-hmm. You know, should people be able to have jobs and make a living, or is that only for a small minority of people? So, I mean, I think now students are recognizing, as far as a general person is concerned, they say you need this education, it's got to be affordable.
That's right. Well, I think the Quebec students have shown that, you know, this is a broader issue than just, accessing education. The policies put in place by the Charest government have implications for inequality throughout wider Quebec society. So this isn't just about education. This is about determining the type of society, the type of jobs that we want, the type of economy that we want. And the Quebec strike has really done an amazing job of highlighting and making those connections to broader issues in society, right?
You had also mentioned again that this is on the backs of students who can't afford it. And it's we keep getting this commentary, even now, that students are buying iPhones, using iPhones to communicate. They have laptops and personal computers. And it's suggested that they spend a lot of time in Starbucks or going to movies or whatever. Now, it turns out a lot of the people making these criticisms have really shown their age, in a sense, by criticizing people for owning cell phones. So there is less of that. But isn't it, I mean, it's a difficulty, and I think we can relate to it, that our generation and anyone born after 1980 or so has been under the biggest sort of tumult or they've been under an avalanche of advertising, okay? We watch a lot of TV. Commercials are more prevalent than they used to be. The shows are shorter. They're 42 minutes instead of 50. More commercials on the internet. There's commercials on your phone. There's commercials. They're all over the billboards. The television shows are part of these sophisticated marketing campaigns to make you want to live a certain lifestyle. Even New Girl, which is now trying to push people into certain directions. So they tell the kids and the students, you got to buy all these things. You have to buy these things to be happy, or you're a loser. If you don't have the new car and you're not mortgaging a house and you don't have the iPhone, you're a loser. By the way, you also need to take on a $20,000 student debt, or maybe $50,000 or $100,000 in grad school. And then maybe you'll get a job. So do you think that, I mean, they're also, on the one hand, being told to buy all these things, and then when they do and they're having trouble with their tuition, they're made fun of. What are students supposed to do? What are people supposed to do?
I mean, one thing I would say to people like that is, there's one issue. It's like, do you want, what's wrong with the next generation doing better than the last? Mm-hmm. Isn't that part of the reason we live in a society and we want things to improve for our kids, right? And their kids and so on. Second, I think part of that is just, I don't know, kind of a ridiculous argument. Like, the generation before us had dismans, right? And like, I'm not sure I follow the logic there.
Yeah.
And it also denies the very real conditions that students face, student poverty, bad student housing. I mean, any student listening to this out there knows what it's like to be a student right now and just knows how ridiculous this idea is, that students have it so great when we're living in crammed apartments with roommates and bad housing and you got to eat bad food because you can't afford to eat healthy. And meanwhile, you got a mortgage-sized debt piling up that you graduate with. So, I mean, there's lots of studies out there that show that this generation has it worse off than previous generations. So it's wrong, it's disingenuous, and you know, what kind of society do you want to live in where you look down upon the next generation because they might have it better than you?
Yeah, and students are living like students increasingly into the workforce. So once you graduate, you're still with roommates, you're still scrimping and saving and not buying new things. There's this whole talk about zombie consumers. That's the way businesses see it, and that the students can't spend too much money once they've graduated. So they've imposed this austerity on us, not just in the schools and in the education system, but personal austerity. You have to become a neoliberal person. You have to become a lean person and always cutting back. Don't have kids. Don't do anything unless you can afford it. And what consequences is that going to have? People aren't going to be able to afford to live a normal life. And it used to be in the 60s, 70s, even they imagined this sort of future, space future, flying cars and all that. Even if it was a wrong vision, they had a vision of the future and it had some optimism. But now there's not really all that much optimism for the future. As far as our space program goes, it's been privatized, right? They just, that private launch. So that's the future. And someone has to do something about it. And it seems to be falling to the students and now all the sectors of society that will cooperate with students. So we have an initiative to go forward on now. The casseroles thing is happening today at 8 o'clock. So we can move forward on that and we'll see how it goes from there. It's great, again, that the unions in the rest of Canada have been pitching in on this process, moving it forward, and now we have demonstrations in, I don't know, 30 cities or so. I have a CBC map. It's just this big red map, basically, of where all the demonstrations are going to be. So it was against the policies of Charest in Quebec, and it's increasingly against the policies of Harper now, and the austerity that the education system is almost symbolic of, because every other sector of society is being cut. People are being laid off, scientists, environment workers, and so on. Nobody is safe. Mm-hmm. Nobody's safe. Your job isn't safe. What are you going to do? People are coming out onto the streets. I recommend we all come out 8 o'clock this Wednesday today. I will be there. So thanks very much, the three of you, for putting this on and for organizing this. Again, you've been ahead of the curve on the issue, and you'll be, I assume, leaders in this community as to moving forward on this. So again, thanks very much for coming on the program today.
Thank you, Brendan, very much for having us.
Thanks, Brendan.